I don't know about you, but it's just amazing to me that June 1st is just around the corner. I know those who are trying to finish school are ready for it, so are the teachers. Summer is a good time for travel and other things, so travel safely and find a place of worship when you travel to other places. And I'm thankful to Brian and Gary Starr. We are back online tonight, today. They worked the other night, and we have some watching us today, and may perhaps you'll travel and watch us as well as you travel. I try to put myself in the circumstances of the verses to get a feel for why we have them. And it dawned on me yesterday while Terry was cutting my hair. I was just putting my mind in other places, and she did her usual good job. But Peter wanted the people there to concentrate on salvation. And we read those verses, 10 through 12. And the main subject matter is salvation. But then he brings into the discussion the circumstances of prophets of old. And he lets us see salvation from their point of view. And it made me think about how I choose to read a book. When I read a book, I know there is an ending to that book. Why else would I start a book without an ending, correct? Are we in agreement with that? If I haven't lost you already. And there's something about going through that book, knowing there's an ending. I know of only a handful of people in my life that sometimes will get bored with the book and go read the ending. And the ending, and some of you just raised your hand, and sometimes the ending will encourage you to go back to chapter 12 and finish reading the book. You're satisfied with what's there. Think of the role of the prophets. And that's what Peter wants us to think about. Think about the prophets who would search and inquire about salvation and about the salvation that they were speaking of, not seeing how it would come about, not seeing when, not even understanding the people involved in it. And if you look at Psalm 22 and Isaiah 52 and 53, if we did not have the end of the story, those prophecies would make very little sense to us. There are times that I met with a minister, a co-minister, and a youth minister a number of years ago. And on Monday morning, we would meet for about an hour for a devotional time. And on that occasion, Dennis said, I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 1. And I want you to tell me who they're talking about. And we understood exactly who they were talking about because we had the end of the story. We knew they were talking about Christ is better and comparing him to angels and Moses. We knew that because we had the end of the story. But he said, let's go to the Old Testament and read only two of those given in the Old Testament. And do we know who they're talking about there? And it became very clear. His point was very obvious. We would not have understood it. We are in a great position where we are. The Christians in this circumstance were in a great position where they were. They were on this side of Calvary. They were on this side of the end of the story. They were on this side of understanding this salvation that was accomplished at Calvary by Jesus Christ on that cross through the resurrection. They were part of some of the circumstances of those who heard on the day of Pentecost. Three of the groups of people we see in those early verses were there to hear Peter's message, to respond by faith. Eventually to be immersed in water, to have sins forgiven. Peter wanted them to see that point of view. And apparently he needed them to grow in their appreciation for what they had. Some of his words aren't as strong as they are in other chapters, of other writings rather, of Paul and James. They were going through a great deal of persecution. They were suffering for their faith. We aren't told until later in the second letter of 2 Peter that some were giving up the faith. And he tells them strongly the consequences of that in that second chapter. But we don't see that overtly in this first chapter. But he takes them where we're going today to see the prophets during that time. And we see them wanting to know more. When you study prophecy, two things are taking place. They're foretelling, sometimes predicting the future, and they're forthtelling. They're just simply teaching the Word of God. And as they would teach the Word of God, they were going through a great deal of persecution. Many of the prophets were killed because of their faith. When Jesus talked to his 12 later, he would tell them in those Matthew verses that you're going to be like the prophets who would lose your faith, lose your life because of your faith. And you can relate to them. You can understand that circumstance as you are now going forth into the world. But he also tells us that they were speaking of the suffering of Christ and the glory of God. It's very clear in these verses. And he's telling us for whom the prophets spoke. And that's when he pointed a giant finger metaphorically to each of the Christians there. And he tells us they were talking about Christ and his suffering and God's glory to you. To you. And then he reminds us, but they did not understand it. They did not have the end of the story. They were still faithful. They still appreciated what they were speaking of. They were willing to die for the cause of God through Christ. And he goes into great detail to tell us that. I want us to look at two aspects of it this morning. And then the ending is just, it's without comprehension. The last statement in verse 12 is just without comprehension to us. The Old Testament prophets suffered greatly to provide an example to us for our perseverance. That's why Peter was telling them about them. They were speaking of something they didn't understand. They were speaking to something that wasn't the end of the story, and yet they were faithful when that persecution came into their life. And he tells us also that they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and then a statement that some people struggle with, and the Spirit of Christ witnessed to them. Now we know the Holy Spirit has a Trinity involved, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And he tells us here that they were hearing of the circumstances, and he says the Spirit of Christ in them, verse 11, was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. The Spirit of Christ was ministering to them with this information, with this guidance. And we struggle with that. God is the Spirit. God is also the Father. God is also the Son. It ought not to confuse us when, by inspiration, Peter is trying to help us understand Christ was involved in their life then. And when you hear people talk about the Old Testament, they'll make the statement that every single book of the Old Testament has a thread pointing to Jesus in it. Something there is about Jesus Christ. And we begin to understand that. It's the message of Christ from the beginning. And we see the end when the Armageddon was fought and won, and Christ has gained the victory in Revelation. But the Spirit of Christ in them was at work as they looked into this information. They were also speaking of a future day. And that's where we benefit so much. And that's where the listeners on this occasion benefited so much. If they were doubting their place of salvation under the reign of Christ, God through Christ, he wanted them to understand there were others that spoke of it who did not understand it, as you now can. So hold on. Be faithful in the midst of this persecution. Look to them and emulate their perseverance as they suffered for the cause of Christ. We know from Scripture that they would not have understood Jesus coming from Nazareth, Bethlehem, angels here, others here. So much of the detail in the prophets, about 25 very specific points made about Christ himself, even to the point that he would be buried in an empty tomb, they would not have understood it that far back. But we could understand it. They could understand it, those here in 1 Peter. But there's a confusion that's acknowledged here as well. We must realize that they did indeed have a message and they were faithful to it. And their lack of understanding just spoke to their willingness to allow God to speak through them. The message of Christ came forth through them for those at that time, and they would not have understood it either. But the prophets had that message, even though they missed some of the understanding. And many of them would make statements not necessarily understood as prophecy. Matthew's account, which often went into the Old Testament, it was geared for the Jew to hear a message relating to them. A statement is made in Matthew 1, verse 23, and it's repeated in Matthew's gospel from time to time. On that occasion, he says, that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets might be fulfilled. I'm telling you something that was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, and it needed to be fulfilled. And that's his way of telling them, and here is the fulfillment. Spoken there, understood here, fulfilled here, filled full, I heard someone say a number of years ago. The virgin birth of Jesus in Isaiah 7:14, not regarded as a prophecy necessarily in its context. But it came to be a part of that which was understood in that light later. The idea that Jesus would come up out of Egypt, spoken in Hosea 11, verse 1, understood in Matthew 2, verse 15. The point, and we can make many, not understood there, but pointing here to give us the end of the story. Matthew 16 tells us something that in its context we would have needed. Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16, verse 13. And he began asking his disciples, saying, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They were clearly misunderstanding who he was, even though they had centuries of prophecies. And then Jesus, to the Pharisees on another occasion, Matthew 22, verse 41. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And the Pharisees said to him, the son of David. And then Jesus said to the Pharisees, then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put thine enemies beneath thy feet. And some of the translations have those words in all caps. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And it's just an occasion to where the misunderstanding is made clear in their time. And from that point forward, they had no excuse for a misunderstanding. And it helps us to appreciate what we know. What do you think of your salvation? Do you see it as most important for your life as well as your eternity? What do you think of your salvation when you go through hardships? How much do you depend upon it, knowing that your heart beat away from spending eternity with God, the greatest of all motivations? What do you think of your salvation? Put yourself in those who are dying as prophets, proclaiming the message of Christ and God to heathen people. And they were faithful. They did not understand it, but they knew the source of that message as they chose to be messengers. And they had a very private message, if you will. Some things were given to them. Verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Peter, metaphorically with his words, you, 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 three times. The Holy Spirit sent you this message. You have this information. This is revealed from them through the Holy Spirit today for you. Apparently, it was important that they get the point. And then he says something that I'm not sure I will ever understand it, except the words give us some appreciation. Even angels long to look into these things. Angels today are still watching this salvation plan. He said that to them then. It's true today. Angels today are still watching. It fits the story that we have heard told. It's not a true story, but we could see how it might have happened. Jesus goes back to heaven and he tells the angels everything that went on down here. And they listen intently and they hear the details, and then there's a stark silence on their part because he stopped speaking. And they said to him, what's the plan now? Who's going to spread this message that you've just died for? And he says, them. And he kind of points to men and women on earth. It makes a great point. It's contingent upon us believing that message, appreciating our salvation, and wanting to share it with others. And understand there were times when it was not so clear, but it was finally revealed. It's very certain now, and we have great confidence in our salvation because of God and the working of Christ in our life and our participation in the spiritual kingdom today as children of God in the church. But what did we just hear? The Greek words say something. The word is parakouptos, to kneel beside. I've done it in the past. I'll not do it here, but I'll describe what I've done in the past. I may decide to give in. Parakuptos describes some of us when we were in our children's room when they were young and they had lost something. And we began looking for that which could not be found. And at one point, we parakuptos, we kneel beside, that's the word, we kneel beside the bed and look under the bed and find the toy. And that's what's revealed for us here. Angels have intense interest in this salvation story. There are things still being revealed. There are people still being called to the gospel. There are people still dying for the cause of Christ in our world. There are still people fighting what they see that the Bible is suggesting that they do in order to be saved. And they haven't come to the realization that it's not something I want to fight, I want to give in to. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and here it is. Will you accept it? Angels are still interested in that. And in this idea that you're willing to get down and look into something, trying to find it, trying to see it clearly, that's what we're told about angels, parakuptos, to kneel alongside so as to look into. And why is it sometimes members of the body of Christ don't have the interest they should have in studying God's Word? Some of you weren't here for Bible study. Why? Why? Someone here having studied, presenting it, discussion offered, ideas rendered to come to understand God's Word, to put it into practice so we'll know it, so as to live it. I made a statement to Terry this week. I may be incorrect. I don't think I am. There's some things I don't understand about us as a congregation and other places where I've been. We get up early to go to work all week, and yet for some reason coming to Bible study is a hardship. 9:30, you're at work most every day, way before 9:30. What's the hardship? And we enjoy eating this place, definitely. I tell visitors we find ways to eat together. But it dawned on me a few weeks ago. I said it out loud for the second time only this week to Terry. There are members of this congregation since we've been here now into our 15th month that haven't been to that fellowship hall one time since we came here. Explain that to me. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. Coming together as a family, brothers and sisters, good food. Bring a brown bag if you need to, if you don't like it. What is it about our life groups that some people refuse, it seems, to come and be a part of them? They haven't been to that fellowship hall since I've been here. Is that something that's true prior to those times? And I'm not talking about pandemic. I guess what I'm saying is, Peter wants us to appreciate what we have, this side of the cross, to understand it, to appreciate, to revel in the spiritual family that we have here or in other places for those watching online. Choose to participate. If you don't need the encouragement, be there to offer it for those of us who do. By the way, I like banana pudding. Not enough banana pudding, I think. But what am I saying? Appreciate what you have. Don't take it for granted. Take advantage of the opportunities. As we saw from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, our generosity, there's a guarantee, perhaps, that it might not last. The opportunities may not be there. The appreciation needs to be there as we respond as we should. I'm not sure what else angels are longing to look into. But they long to look into this salvation story, just as the prophets did. We are not left in the dark. We get to see it every day. And because we see it, I believe they see it. I believe the verse is telling us. There are things that they parakuptos, they long to look into. And it's not suggested just in the past. We have something special in Christ. We have each other special in Christ. Let's appreciate it. Let's respond to it. And if you need to respond while we stand and sing, please do.